Well, welcome to The Objective Edge. I'm Dr. Chris.
And I'm Jill.
And we are excited. Today's topic is really going to be a very interesting one.
Yes, and it's going to be timely.
Timely, and something that I think that is on everybody's minds.
Yes, and something that whether you want it to or not, there's not one person on this earth it doesn't affect.
Yes, exactly. So what we're talking about is taking companies green. And for those of you who have not heard the term green, I'd be really surprised if anybody hadn't. But it's about making your company more environmentally friendly in any way, shape, or form that can be done.
Yes.
So we are excited to be here today. Let's tell them a little about the show.
Sure. And just so they know to stay tuned, we do have an expert coming on the second portion of the show.
Oh, yes. Let me tell them about Dale.
Because that way you'll know that you're going to have some great tips and facts and ways to take your company green or your home.
And
or,
why it's very cost effective.
And, you know, that'd be a great thing for people to learn. They actually could do this without it hurting that bottom line. Actually helping the green, you know, everything. Yes, just wait till you hear all of this.
Well, we're bringing on Dale Golden, who is CEO of Solar Direct of Bradenton, Florida, and he has over 28 years in the green industry. A very exciting interview because he will tell you how your company will actually make a huge savings by going green, 30% of your tax.
Yeah, he'll give you all the information, but you will be, you know, a company that people can look up to. Mm-hmm. All the benefits that you're going to get if you go green, and you're going to help the world and everything. So anyway,
it's all good.
All good stuff today. And Chris and I are obviously right up on this. You know, we both have solar in our homes. We're adding more to it. And so we are very big believers in all of this. So if you hear, it's what you're hearing.
That's right. Excitement. So this is The Objective Edge, and we are a show that is devoted to business. We are so excited because now you're going to hear from Dale Golden, who is CEO of Solar Direct of Bradenton, Florida. And we're talking about businesses helping other businesses go green, and Dale is an expert on this. He graduated from Indiana State University with a BS degree in business marketing and economics, and shortly after moving to Florida in 1979, he began his career in the solar industry. And now he's a 28-year veteran, having vast experience in the sales and marketing side of the business. Dale was principal in developing Solar Direct's current business model, combining the high profile of internet marketing with a broad offering of environmentally friendly product solutions for online purchases through the energysupermarket.com website, along with the Florida statewide contractor installation services of its major product technologies. Solar Direct has received a great deal of recognition from the media the past year, including award nominations for the Manatee County Business of the Year Award, and most recently received a Best Practices Award from the Council for Sustainable Florida in June of 2007 for its large commercial solar pool installation for the Wauchula High School Sports Complex Pool. Well, Dale, welcome to our show.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for the invitation.
Oh, our pleasure. We can't wait for you to impart all of your knowledge for our listeners across the world.
So why don't we get started with, we have a ton of questions for you, Dale, but I want to ask you, how do you define green business practices?
Well, green business practices basically address two main issues. First, the health and well-being of the occupants of the building by creating a green, comfortable, and healthy environment. That's using proper building materials and proper construction in the process of building the building that business takes place in every day. And then the other side of greening the business is the energy side, where if a business were to consume large amounts of energy because of, let's say, electrical lighting, there are lighting products that could substitute and be more energy efficient, creating less greenhouse gas emissions for the business. Or if they were a manufacturing business and used some type of process heating where maybe water heating would be involved, or use a lot of electricity than using solar products or other renewable energy products to generate that energy would be another way of doing it.
You know, I have a real quick question because you brought up something about the electricity and the lighting. And we all know that fluorescent lighting is a highly efficient lighting, but for human beings, it's not the best lighting. So how do you marry the fact that you want green living for the people working in the building, but you also want to be energy efficient for the planet?
Well, we primarily in the energy field recommend compact fluorescent lighting, and I'd have to claim we're energy experts, perhaps not lighting experts. I know there are stated issues with mercury involved in the lighting, but these are at minimal levels, less than what's permitted by the FDA in seafood products that we consume. So those are things that people get alarmed about, but they're not at all important. And in terms of the quality of lighting, if the proper diffusers and other things are done by a professional lighting expert, I still think that the lighting environment would be good. Plus, there are some really excellent natural solar lighting products like solar skylights that don't use any power generated light that can light a business or a home as well.
Wonderful.
That's terrific information. So what is it that has caused this sudden interest and need, actually, for being green?
Well, that's an interesting question. Being in the business as long as we have, I think up until the last year or two, we felt like maybe the Rodney Dangerfields of energy conservation and green living. We never got any respect from anybody. And suddenly now everybody wants to listen. And I think it's really a convergence of a number of forces. Obviously, the pain at the gas pump and the pain in paying our utility bills at home has forced us to look for alternatives. And then the Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's book and movie, certainly has had a large effect on making people aware of the ramifications of climate change and all the natural disasters around the country, the Middle Eastern crisis that's going on in terms of the war in the Middle East, with the dependency on foreign fuels, and then of course the federal and state government programs to subsidize through tax credits and rebates the installation of energy saving equipment, and then I guess just really the whole holistic medicine movement, I guess, that's focusing on better health. So there's just a whole convergence of a number of factors that have all resulted in this highlighting the technology and the way of life.
Well, it's really wonderful that this is all coming together. And what we're talking today about is how it is it advantageous for a business to go green. So maybe you can talk about, what are the advantages for a business person looking at this? Why would they want to go green at this point?
Well, that's a question that, again, involves a number of different considerations. First, there's the overall greening of the company or corporate image. You have companies now who are boasting of their greenness, so to speak. You have companies like Starbucks and Whole Foods and a lot of your major corporations and businesses today are proud of the fact that they're being good citizens and being green. And of course, they're getting more productivity out of their clients as well. Then there are tax advantages and rebates that they can take advantage of from the federal government that makes it a good, wise business decision. And then, of course, lowering your energy costs would lower your cost of operations of doing business, so it makes your business more profitable. So there are probably three primary reasons why that's all happening.
So do you run into, because I know that transferring from one type of energy to another can be extremely expensive. So what are the things that you put out there for the business person to really make them want to or see the value for them to turn green, to spend that huge outlay, because it is a big outlay to change some of these things when it's a big change.
Well, I think businesses as a whole are used to making capital investment decisions. That's what business is all about. You know, you buy a machine and it produces so many items for you and will work a certain period of time, and then there's maintenance and upkeep, and it all gets down to the bottom line in terms of profitability. So we basically use the same type of business accounting model where a company would make an investment in, let's say, a large commercial solar or water heating system because it's something like a restaurant that's important to the business to have hot water. They make that investment. They look at a return on investment through savings. They get accelerated depreciation from an accounting standpoint. And so when you show them that it's a 20-30% tax-free return on investment and payback within 5 years, then it's probably not any different than any other financial decision relative to a capital investment that they might make.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I wasn't even thinking a restaurant or, you know, I can't, all the implications, all the places that you can use these products.
Yeah, it's amazing. Why don't you talk about some of the different businesses and how they could go green? That would be interesting to our audience.
Well, I touched on manufacturing. So let's take a company maybe that does pasteurization or other processes that require large amounts of hot water or industrial process heat. These companies could invest in a large commercial solar water heating system, and these systems are engineered geographically depending upon the weather and the available sunlight in the areas that your business is in. And these pieces of equipment would then generate hot water that would be used in the industrial or manufacturing process. The company would emit less greenhouse gases because they wouldn't be requiring gas or oil or some type of combustion energy or power from the power company, which also generates emissions when they generate the electrical power. So the business would save all that. They would get the savings benefits from the equipment. So that would be an example of using it in manufacturing. Let's just say you were a medical clinic and you had a large amount of lighting and the business operated 9 to 5, so during daytime hours. And if there were any artificial or electrically powered lighting in that building, it could be replaced with natural solar skylights that would reflect the sun's energy into the room and would light the building without the use of any lighting products at all. So that's something that that they could do. It's just an endless model for just about any kind of business.
Yeah, it seems that there are continual ideas that you can come up with, and that's pretty exciting. Are the green solar technologies relevant to, well, we already asked that, relevant to businesses? Absolutely. But tell us about, you went to the Climate Change Summit and resulting executive orders from Florida Governor Charlie Crist that were signed on July 13th. That, I really want to hear about that.
This is huge news. First of all, it's an example of a governor on the Eastern Seaboard basically turning Florida into California overnight in terms of its attention to climate change issues and the environment. And I think Charlie Crist opened the summit by saying that typically environmental issues are seen as a Democratic fueled issue in our government, and he made a point that it wasn't really a political issue. It was a people's issue and something that the people want. So it's his responsibility to protect what Floridians come to Florida for, our environment, and to make it a healthy one. So basically it was a very comprehensive summit and came and resulted in three very critical executive orders. I can get into some of the specifics from it if you'd like us to.
What are the keys that really would intrigue people that maybe other states or other countries that could, you know, you said we are coming like California, who has a lot of initiatives going on, so Florida jumping into that, that's pretty exciting and new.
Yeah.
And so who else? What else would be great models for other states and other countries to be following?
Okay, well, basically there were a couple of things involved. First of all, there were immediate actions in this executive order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from Florida state government. Governments obviously occupy a lot of buildings throughout their states, and so this is basically going to develop a government carbon scorecard for all state government buildings to reduce emissions 10% by 2012, 25% by 2017, and 40% by 2025. And the state buildings will be more energy efficient and include solar power whenever possible. Leased office space for the government would have to be in energy efficient buildings, and that state vehicles purchased by the government or leased by the government would have to be fuel efficient and use alternative fuels like ethanol and biodiesel. Also, there were immediate actions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions within Florida, and this was to adopt maximum emission level standards for electric utilities. And this would require them to reduce emissions to 2000 year levels by 2017 and 1990 levels by 2025 and 80% of 1990 levels by 2050. And they will also adopt California motor vehicle emissions standards, which is a very critical issue because if that's decided in California, then it likely would become a capitulation by the auto industry to make these low emissions vehicles a standard throughout the whole country. There'd be enough states requiring it that they would just then automatically do it for everybody.
Well, I was very excited yesterday. I saw a hybrid bus in our Sarasota County bus system.
Is that the funky new bus?
It's the funky new bus, and it's a hybrid. I was so excited. I saw that. I said, "Yay!"
They probably don't have to be funky and new, but I think they've proven that with the Prius, that, you know, it's kind of a funky looking little car and that people are proud of its funkiness because it points to the fact that they're doing something. So the counties are starting to do this as well. And now with what Charlie Crist has done here, this is going to make it a statewide focus. It's huge.
Yeah.
You have a question? We both have questions.
Well, so, you know, it's exciting to me that it starts from the top. Like in any business, that if the leaders don't do it, nobody else will. So if our government's actually willing to step up, that's a big thing for then the companies, et cetera. There's a couple of little things. I know Chris has questions, and I have questions. Do the companies, I know as individuals, that we get tax breaks. Do the companies also get the same type of a tax break when they start implementing some of the solar products and energy-saving products?
Yes, actually, bigger and better.
I need to incorporate myself.
we can arrange that. on a residential level, the tax credits that exist are capped for each technology that one might use. So if you're putting in a solar water heating system or a solar electric system, regardless of the cost, the tax credit is 30%. Now, this is a credit, a direct reduction of taxes paid or a direct increase in a refund that you would receive. It's different from a deduction. Mm-hmm. Those credits are capped at $2,000 per technology on residential.
Ooh.
And, of course, you get no other accounting breaks in the home either. Now, for solar hot water, that's great because that represents a large percentage
of
the cost.
But not
for
solar
electric.
Yeah.
Those are big buck systems, so it's still pretty small. Now, there's a lot going on in our federal government right now that people should be mindful of, because these things are going to change. The laws are going to be extended. The caps are going to be increased. But getting back to your question about the business, in the case of the business, it's 30% with no cap. So if they buy that solar electric system that costs $100,000, they get a $30,000 tax credit. So not only do you get the energy savings and the green image for your business, but you get a tax shelter along with it, and then you get a 5-year accelerated depreciation schedule on the accounting side for the expense side of the business, which is a greater depreciation schedule than you would get from another capital expense. So business is really where this is all at.
Yeah,
and it's
like
just now starting to warm up, you know.
Is that a little joke there, a little warming?
Yeah. Didn't even think of it, but thanks.
Well,
I'll take credit.
You know, Dale, speaking of that, it's just starting to warm up. I really feel like a kindred spirit because you talk about being the Rodney Dangerfield of business. I've been in chiropractic for a long time, and not as long as some of the forerunners who even went to jail for quote-unquote practicing medicine without a license. You know, I really understand that feeling of being ahead of your time in a concept that is now being embraced. And maybe you can talk about some war stories of what has it been like building this outlandish business. And I say that with a tongue in cheek. And we only have a few minutes left, but just give us a little bit of a taste of your war stories.
Well, I'd have to say it's now this is quoting Yogi Berra, you know, it's deja vu all over again. so we did things 15, 20 years ago that weren't at all recognized and, you know, got swept under the rug, so to speak. And now those same things are coming back out and people are acting like it's some new science that was just discovered. And as an example, here in our area, we had a Sarasota County sheriff's detective, probably goes back 15 years or more now, get in contact with us, and he said, my house is absolutely miserable to live in. I work crazy hours. I come home. I'm living like at 82 degrees. I can't sleep. My electric bills are $275 a month. And mind you, this is 15, 20 years ago. What do I do? And I said, well, it's probably too much to educate you on everything that we're going to do for you, but you know other people we've done work for, so trust us, and you need to do a whole bunch of things. So we ventilated his attic, we put in radiant barrier, we did a geothermal heating and cooling system, we put in solar hot water, we did window film, ridge venting, and after it was all said and done, he lived more comfortably. He actually financed it all such that his monthly payments for the improvements were less than the reduction of his electric bill that went from $275 to less than $100.
Wow.
And now that has been called our solar home makeover, where we're taking people who are either buying new homes in Florida or trying to make improvements to existing homes. And, you know, putting in a solar pool heater, putting in solar skylights, putting in solar attic fans, putting in solar water heating, putting in solar electric. And just like we did at your house, Chris, put in a system to give you rapid hot water throughout the house so you don't waste water as well.
Indeed, indeed. Dale, I'm so sad to say we're running out of time. We want to be sure that people know how to get in touch with you. And your website is www.solardirect.com. Correct?
That's correct.
And you can reach Dale at Dale, D-A-L-E, at solardirect.com, or you can call toll-free in the U.S., 800-333-WARM. And Dale, we've had such a good time having you on the show and such incredibly important information you've brought.
I thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, and maybe we'll get to talk again soon. And after the break, we'll let people know some of the things that you can do for individuals also.
Great.
Okay, so We are going to a break now, everybody. This is the Objective Edge, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Objective Edge. We have a wonderful blog we'd love you to visit, and email us if you have a boss you'd like interviewed on our show, or if you want to pat some employee on the back. We have segments in our blog to do that. If you have a question or a sticky situation you want us to answer, just go to www.radioearnetwork.com like you are. Click on The Objective Edge. I always forget that. They're already on there.
They're on it if they're listening to us.
And you'll find our website, you'll find our blog, and you can get in touch with us. For now, this is Dr. Chris.
And this is Jill.
Reach your objective, get the edge, the objective edge.